Yeah.
Jim, would like to start the meeting?
Forgive me.
Welcome all to today's Technical Advisory Committee. Today is Thursday, August 4th, 2022. It is 1:30 p.m. And I'd like to call to order. Do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do.
Very good. The first item on our agenda is the meeting minutes from June 9th, 2022 meeting, reference attachment 2A. A motion to accept is required.
Kovacic motion to accept.
And do we have a second?
Second. Jim.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on, next item on our agenda is item 3A. Under staff reports is the financial progress report, reference attachment 3A. Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attachment 3A, you can see through June, which is the end of the fiscal year, we spent about 78% of our budget. And we are in good fiscal shape as we move into the new year with being able to spend our carryover down and be able to offer the typical programs that we do. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I don't see any questions from Mr. Baker. Therefore, I will request a motion.
Pass. So moved. Clear. Massey, second.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor of accepting the financial progress report signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on, item 3B is our technical progress report. Mr. Baker.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you know, we continue to monitor the new federal grant programs that are coming from the bipartisan infrastructure law. We have been trying to send out NOFAs when we receive them. I believe we sent some out for Safe Streets for All, as well as the Reconnecting Communities, which both came out. As we discussed at the TAC meeting and our last meeting, the Safe Streets for All program, AMATS is going to work on completing the Safe Streets for All plan for the region. As part of that, in front of you today is a resolution adopting a Vision Zero strategy of zero fatalities and serious injuries in our region. With that plan, it'll open up our community's availability to apply for funds in the future through the Safe Streets for All program. I also thought it'd be important to remind you that the AMATS annual meeting, after a two-year hiatus, is back this year on October 7th. Three-year hiatus. Really?
We haven't had it since 2019.
Well, okay. Yeah, it's been 3 years since we've all been in the same room. But yeah, so reinstating the annual meeting October 7th at the Sheridan Suites, as it has been in the past. We're excited. Director...
Marchbanks.
No, not Marchbanks. The Turnpike Director, Farzan Ahmed. Yeah, Farzan Ahmed speaking, as well as Jerry Nero from District 4 will be speaking as well. So we're really excited to kind of reintroduce people to some of our partners at state agencies. And then we also did just recently rehire our traffic counter, so we are able to, we're starting to finally get back to really getting some counts out, having counters out there every day and collecting more data. So that was something that, you know, we had halted during the pandemic, and then we had difficulty refilling the role and getting someone in there. And so now we're hoping to be back up to speed. So if you do have counting requests and locations, please let us know. We have both a MyoVision camera, which can film intersections, as well as our radar counters, which also collect speed. But we will begin collecting data for our main traffic, for our main sort of required traffic, as we to see sort of where our ADTs are and how things have changed in the last 2 years or almost three. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, but that is my report.
Questions from Mr. Baker. Thank you, sir. I am moving on to item 3C, AMATS Federal Funds Report. See attachment 3C, Mr. Paulette.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm excited to present to you a new program that AMATS is going to be participating in called the Carbon Reduction Program. The Carbon Reduction Program is It's, in my opinion, is very similar to CMAQ. It's designed for projects that reduce emissions or fund non-motorized type projects, and basically any type of project that reduces pollution. So I think that their aim was to put some of this money toward EVs, alternate fuel vehicles, but it can really be used for basically any type of project that reduces carbon pollution. And the program actually started in 2022, and but we have not received the money yet. So in 2023, we'll actually be receiving 2 years' worth of funding for this. So in 2023, we'll have $2.5 million available, and then every year thereafter, for the next 3 years, we'll have $1.3 million. And I know that, you know, that doesn't sound like a whole lot in today's times, but it's it's definitely something that might help you get a project done. So pleased to tell you about that. And the only other thing I want to mention is we've had a project on our books since 2008. And it was actually one of the Goodyear projects. Some of you might have not even been around or participating in this then, but when Goodyear announced they were going to construct their new headquarters here in Akron, the people involved in that wanted to construct a network of streets around the new headquarters. And one of the streets, for one reason or another, one of the streets that money was allocated to was never built. It was Cyberling Way, Phase 1. So what that does is it frees up approximately $4.1 million in fiscal year 24. And Amy Prater from our office has been diligently working on moving some resurfacing projects up to kind of use that money up, because we will we will retain the money. So I believe that we have basically used the PCI index as a way of choosing which projects to move. So that's still kind of a work in process. And one last thing, I've had several phone calls asking about when is our next funding cycle. Our next funding cycle, normal funding cycle, will be next summer in calendar year 23. We may have something with the carbon reduction program, I'm not sure at this time, but our next regular funding cycle is not this summer, but next summer. And that's all I have. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer. PCIs are on the website. The new ones.
Okay. Dave, if I can mention on the carbon reduction program, I do believe it's federally allocated, so this is not like the state.
Right.
You know, we always worry about giving back STBG because the state gives us more than we actually are allocated. The carbon, my understanding is the amount we're getting is actually federally allocated. So one of the things that we're trying to discuss internally that we'll probably first bring in the TAC-TIP into and discuss is, do we want to use 2023 carbon reduction money to supplant STBG money for existing projects, sort of like we did with the CRISA funding that came out last year, or do we need to create almost like a new program specifically for carbon reduction for that $1.3 million per year? That's what we've got to figure out, and unfortunately the CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations, isn't out yet, so it's not really clear what projects are the intended projects in terms of eligibility. We have an idea, but it's a little bit not yet all the way fleshed out. So you will be hearing us talk about that more and then figuring out how we want to try to apply those funds to our existing programs. So I think that's where Dave's alluding to. We might say it's best to have a special round of funding for a project specifically for the carbon reduction program, or we might say, hey, you know, Tony's project fits perfectly, we're just going to swap out STBG and then have the STBG left over to spend. So those are decisions we're kind of talking through right now as staff to see what the options are.
Very good.
All right, no questions for Mr. Play. We will then move on to item four, old business, regarding final draft resiliency report, reference attachment 4A. Mr. Swirsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon all. I'm here to present the final draft of the climate resiliency report. As maybe to refresh your memory, back in May, I came to talk a little bit about what we did to analyze the region's roadways and transportation infrastructure broadly to their resiliency towards extreme weather events, and a couple other data points that we analyzed. And we took in some feedback from that, and we've made some updates that you can see, and I'll take any questions if you need. But short and sweet, that the staff does recommend approval. So this is the final report.
Any questions from Mr. Swirsky?
I make a motion to share a written.
We have a motion to approve. We have a second.
Hadley, second.
The motion is second. Therefore, we can vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. Moving on to item five, new business. That reference attachment 5A, Connecting Communities Planning Grant Program. Ms. Rydell.
Good afternoon, everyone. I bring good news today. Attachment 5A is the notice of funding available for the sixth round of AMF Connecting Communities Planning Grant. Beginning on September 1st, we will make available applications on our website for two more planning grants, $40,000 each, just like the last round. The application will be similar to years past, and will be due September 30th. As always, we are looking for projects that increase alternative transportation options through land use and design. We expect to meet with the Connecting Communities Planning Grant Task Force sometime in October to review the applications and make recommendations for policy committee approval in December. At this time, I can answer any questions you may have. You're all
going to
apply.
Yeah, great.
All right.
So be competitive.
All right, thank you.
All right, moving on to item six, resolutions. The first one is resolution 2022-14, approving support for infrastructure and congestion-related performance measure targets. Reference attachment 6A, Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. AMS is required to establish performance targets as part of the regional transportation planning process. Two options are available for satisfying this requirement. Commit to a quantifiable target for each measure within the metropolitan area, or approve the ODOT statewide targets and agree to plan a program projects so that they can contribute toward the accomplishment of those goals. The use of performance measures will impact AMS members' applications for funding at the local, state, and federal level. The AMS funding policy guidelines currently employ performance data and project selection. They may also be amended in the future in order to support these goals as additional federal program guidance becomes available. It's been a longstanding policy at AMATS to use quantifiable data in project selection, and this process will continue that. With this resolution, the staff is requesting support for the ODOT statewide targets for pavement and bridge conditions, the level of travel time reliability, and the level of truck travel time reliability. In coordination with ODOT and NOAACA, the resolution also approves a Cleveland urbanized area target for peak hour excessive delay, non-single occupancy vehicle travel, and project level emissions reduction. Also, in coordination with ODOT and NOAACA, the resolution also approves an Akron urbanized area target for peak hour excessive delay, non-SOV travel, and project emissions. AMATS agrees to plan and program projects so that they can contribute toward the accomplishment of ODOT and area-wide targets for each performance measure. AMATS agrees to include performance-based decision-making as part of the project selection and funding process. And lastly, the staff is requesting that the policy committee approve that AMATS as part of the Cleveland-Akron-Lorain non-attainment area supports the intent of ODOT's statewide targets for air quality improvements. The staff is requesting approval of resolution 2022-14, and we will be happy to answer any questions.
Just, in past years, we've always went with the ODOT targets, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, seeing none, we need a motion.
Tomasi, move to approve.
Second.
Four, second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Moving on to resolution 2022-15, approving amendment number 20 to the fiscal year 2021-2024 transportation improvement program to delete an existing project and revise the funding of an existing project. Reference attachment 6B, Mr. Pillay.
Okay, thank you. The first project that we're planning to delete is Cyberlink Way Phase 1. This is the project that I made reference to during the federal funds report. This is a project that has been in the TIP since 2008. It's one of the original Goodyear projects when Goodyear was developing their new headquarters. We funded the project with approximately $4.1 million of STBG funds. And those will be, those will remain with AMATS. As I also alluded to, Amy has been working to move up some of the resurfacing projects based on PCIs, the worst being moved up first. So we're going to definitely use that money up with advancing some resurfacing projects. The other project is a revision of funding. This is East Exchange Street improvement by the university. This project's been around for a while too. A couple different designs have been tried, and finally it's ready to I think take off, but we have to do this amendment because the total project cost ballooned from around $5 million to over $11 million. Now, we are not contributing to this increase with AMATS money. The city of Akron is absorbing this increase, but it's a substantial amount, and it has to be reflected in the TIP. So the second project is just an increase in the cost of the project, but not with our funding. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
All right, no question from Mr. Play. A motion to pass is required.
Jumping with your break.
Second.
Here, Don.
Second. Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes. Moving on to resolution 2022-16, adopting a goal of zero fatalities and serious injuries by 2050 for the AMATS area. Reference attachment 6C, Mr. Pillay.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a new concept in safety. It's called Vision Zero. And some of you may have heard of it, some of you may not have, but before we actually get to the resolution and pass the resolution, I thought I would just do a brief presentation explaining what it is. What in the world is Vision Zero? Vision Zero is a movement, a strategy to try to eliminate all traffic fatalities and severe injuries. And you may be thinking, wow, that's never going to happen. And, you know, perhaps that's true, but I think the goal here is we want to shoot for zero fatalities. We want to try to achieve that goal, and in trying to achieve that goal, hopefully we'll at least reduce the number of fatalities and severe injuries. The big, I guess the big difference in this approach is this approach recognizes that people make mistakes. A lot of fatalities, when I've seen a lot of crash reports, I can tell you that fatalities, most of them have the same characteristics. It's high rate, it's usually one vehicle, a high rate of speed, roadway departure, hitting a fixed object, and many times drugs or alcohol involved. Now, when of all those things, there's, you know, most of those things fall on someone making some bad decisions. So this takes into account that sometimes people make bad decisions. The traditional approach is traffic deaths are inevitable. Vision zero approach is traffic deaths are preventable. Perfect, the traditional approach assumes perfect behavior, human behavior. Vision zero assumes that people make mistakes. Traditional method is we prevent collisions, prevent accidents in general. Vision zero is prevent fatal and severe crashes. Traditional approach is individual responsibility. Vision zero is more systems oriented. And saving lives is expensive. We always consider that as expensive. And Vision Zero says, no, it doesn't have to be expensive. Sometimes you can do some small things, and it makes a big difference. So basically, committing to Vision Zero is creating a new safety culture. It's kind of a new way of thinking for both the for all the, I guess, all the parties involved in making sure that our roads and highways are safe. Basically, there's nine components to Vision Zero: political commitment, multidisciplinary leadership, creating an action plan, equity, making sure that this program reaches all people, all neighborhoods, cooperation and collaboration, a systematic approach. It's data-driven. It engages the community, and it's transparent. Now, along with this program comes funding opportunities. The funding behind Vision Zero is called Safe Streets for All, and it's $1 billion a year, not just for Ohio. I mean, that's nationwide, but still, that's a very, very hefty amount for a safety program. So it's $1 billion a year, and there's, I think, a total of $5 billion allocated for funding this program. So today, as we pass the resolution, we're actually on step one of the commitments that we have to make for being involved in Vision Zero, and that is political commitment. Now, in the future, step two will be multidisciplinary leadership, and that will happen soon after we pass the resolution. Either Curtis or myself will ask for volunteers, anyone that may be interested in being on part of this leadership committee, and it needs to be multidisciplinary. So we also want to have members of not just the engineering department, but also police and fire and other community leaders. And then after that committee is formed, we develop an action plan. And my guess is we'd like to have this action plan maybe done in approximately a year. An action plan is where we move from talking about this to actually putting together what we want to do. It's actually more than that, but this is where we move from talk to action. So we develop an action plan. So today, at this time, we recommend approval of Resolution 2022-16, which adopts a Vision Zero goal, zero fatalities and serious injuries by the year 2050. If there's any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Yes.
Wow. Where do you begin, I guess? So do you see the emphasis being more on changing human behavior as opposed to fixing engineering problems somewhere on the roads? Or I guess it's, you know, very wide open.
It's all the above. Because, I mean, as in, you know, like, we can only do so much to make highways safer, but the guy that gets in, the driver that gets in a car drunk or on drugs, drives 110 miles an hour down a country road, and, you know, goes off the side of the road and flips over, not wearing a seatbelt. You know, most of that is human behavior problems. So it's going to, that's what's so different about this, is it does target both human behavior and the highway side.
All right, any other questions for Mr. Clay?
Well, one other question. Would AMETS, would each MPO be developing their own plan that ODOT would fit together, or is there going to be some leadership from ODOT that...
If I'm not mistaken, and you can correct me, Curtis, if I'm wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, this is not really an ODOT program.
It's not. I mean, it's a federal program.
Yeah.
I don't know what ODOT's plans are.
Yeah, we're not sure.
You know, I think the reality is like Vision Zero plans can be developed at the community, as low as the community level.
Yeah.
I mean, developed at a regional level. They could be developed at a multi-regional level. This committee's decision and our policy committee at our last meeting decided that they wanted to task us with doing one at the regional level. So, you know, are other MPOs doing it? That's going to be up to their boards as well.
Publications that I have read have, I think, really encouraged MPOs to kind of develop these action plans and participate in this Vision Zero program because you know, safety is not limited to one community. It's usually a regional. It has to be a regional effort. And I think an MPO works really well in that respect.
And the plan itself is actually going to look a lot like our long-range transportation plan. Like, we will have specific project recommendations for locations based on hotspot analysis of major crash locations. So we're also the ones that we do that. We do a lot of that work already. This is just taking it one step further.
Not only you looking to reduce fatalities and stuff by doing highway, you know, projects and everything, but you're going to have more informational public service announcements.
You could have education, PSAs, and that's, I think, the idea of being multidisciplinary.
We target certain, you know, the bad, the worst areas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's okay. And so that's where we were saying last time. This isn't a place where every community is going to say, oh, yeah, well, I always wanted to do this project, so now I want it listed in the Safe Routes to Streets plan, or Safe Streets for All plan. This is a project where we're going to identify hotspots. We're going to say, these are the locations, and these are the projects that need to happen. So this is not, you know, just to be clear with our members, this isn't a wish list of every project you want to get done. This is going to be a data-driven process based on where we see the crash locations being.
Okay.
The trouble with fatal and serious injury accidents, if you plotted those on a map, which I have, they're just spread out all over. It's not like other crashes where you have 30 at one intersection. You know, that's why this has to be kind of a systematic type approach, because those type of crashes are just a whole different type of animal to try to tame, because they're just so widespread. I mean, you might see corridors where you have maybe a few more pedestrian accidents, or corridors where you have a few more serious injury crashes, but for the most part, they're all, if you looked at a map, they're pretty spread out, and it has to be targeted, you know, systematically. Yes.
One of the items would be the reduction of cell phone usage.
That'd be
while driving.
That and speed. Cell phone.
2.5 years ago, the governor and Mr. Marchbanks, Director Marchbanks, was prepared to introduce legislation to do just that. It got shot down to work. It never happened. You want political commitment? Political commitment for that has to make that item a primary offense. So it can all, we've all driven down the road and seen people doing dumb things.
Yes.
Right. We need political commitment from ISL. Are we going to be willing to take on the state legislature and send letters demanding they do that? Second thing is, you're committing us to do something in 28 years. In 28 years, it'll be 101. I won't give a damn about your goal. If we're going to do it, why aren't we doing something more serious sooner?
Well, I think the idea is, I mean, the reason that we have it by 2050 is it's also our long-range plan horizon year, so it fits in nicely with our other goals. And then I think realistically, getting down to zero is going to take time.
It's going to take one thing to make that happen. Banning motor vehicles. Too many cars, too many vehicles.
Well, yeah, I mean, I mean,
we have to go get the horses out.
Flying cars. Hey,
we might get there. We might be lucky enough to be there.
No phones and no cars. You've got all the tracks and cops taking care of them. We can all see you on.
Well, and alcohol. I think alcohol is another.
Buy buses and ban cars.
There you go.
There you go.
I don't have metro.
I got to see you after the night.
I do truly believe that another note, you know, as we slowly inch closer to autonomous vehicles, I think that, you know, the less the driver has to do, probably the safer the highways will be. But I don't think we'll ever reach that point where we have truly autonomous vehicles, because nobody wants to assume that liability. It's been who's responsible. And I don't think any company wants to assume that responsibility. But like even now, with today's technology, is you have the automatic braking systems in most modern cars. I mean, that's huge. That's probably prevented a ton of rear end collisions. But we still have a lot of them. But as that technology is integrated into more and more cars on the road, I think it's going to definitely help safety.
All right. Good discussion. Any other comments? All right. We need a motion to approve.
Jim Ball, move to approve.
Second.
More second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
One.
Hearing one opposed, the motion passes. Any other business? Seeing none, our next regularly scheduled meeting is Thursday, April 15th at 1:30 p.m. here at the Hilton Garden Inn. September. Thank you. I move to adjourn.
Is that the particular
way? That's it.